Okay.
Okay. Now, we're doing this for real this time. Like, for realsies this time.
For realsies this time?
Let's go.
So, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. In case you couldn't tell, I'm Sammy.
And I'm Tessa. Yes.
And we talk about conspiracy theories and cryptids.
Yes, and it's a lot of fun, and it's very much a look what I found approach to the things that are weird and that human imagination.
Yes, we consider ourselves a fungucational podcast, and what I mean by that is we don't really take our topics way too seriously. We're not out here to convince you that these conspiracies are real. We're out here to educate you in a fun and comedic way. So yes. We are fungucational. I'm doing a little bit of, the reason we're doing an introduction for those of you who do listen to us regularly is we're kind of expecting a bunch of new listeners because I've just gotten kind of a new side job, sort of. I'm going to be doing voiceover and narration work for the No Sleep podcast again. That was how that was how I got my initial foot in the door into podcasting back in 2011, was working for the No Sleep podcast. And after about 5 years of not working with them, I'm back on the team. So we're kind of expecting a little bit of an influx. So that's why we're kind of introducing ourselves again.
Very exciting.
And then once again, for people who are common listeners and just didn't remember, we are doing a swap a season this season. So I'm covering conspiracy theories for a change and Tess is covering cryptids.
And it's so far been a lot of fun.
It has been.
We get to kind of get to trade jobs for a season and get to step in each other's shoes because we were both like, I'm running out of ideas. And it's like, well, I've got plenty of ideas for yours.
Yes.
Yay.
So
excuse.
Yeah. So without further ado, Tess is going to shake a penny for our thoughts so that we can decide who gets to go first this episode. And you get to choose this time. So,
that's right. Okay. Yes. Shaking my penny for my thoughts. And hey, and if you're a longtime listener and you can tell us what we shake the penny for our thoughts in, maybe there'll be something in it for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've never done anything like that. Let's do a prize pack. Yeah. If you can remember what we shake our penny in and let us know on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, you might win something.
Yeah.
You will win something. We'll figure it out.
Okay, so I'm going to pick heads this time. So we're going to shake it up and we're going to smack it down. Smack it. Yes. And it's
on the floor.
It's tails. It's on the floor, but it's tails on the floor.
Oh, okay. So I get to go first.
Go first. You take it. We'll listen to the penny this time.
Yeah, we haven't really listened to the penny the last couple of times. We're kind of like, no, we're going to do it our way.
No.
Okay.
Go for it.
So today I'm covering another conspiracy that's grounded in a lot of history. As I mentioned last time, the conspiracy theories have a lot more history in them than the cryptids did. So when I do this research, I'm always like blown away by how much history there is. I guess that's my shtick now, as I give history lessons followed up by the actual conspiracies. So I'm sorry that I do things a little bit differently than Tessa did, but that's just, I love history. So I love learning about history. So you're going to love it with me, whether you like it or not.
Oh, so you do your thing. No matter if you think it's better or not, you just do your thing. Babe.
So, yeah. Okay. But so I'm sorry for anybody who doesn't like the history aspect, but I find it fascinating. So this one is actually something that my dad told me about before I really started to look into it, like years ago. It's a little project that you may have heard of called MK Ultra. So during the Cold War, the U.S. government officials feared that the Soviets, the Chinese, and the North Korean agents were using mind control in order to brainwash prisoners of war. Because at the time, there were prisoners of war who didn't want to come back to the States. And, you know, they were like, oh, they're being brainwashed. So as a response, the CIA approved to start working on a project in 1953 that would delve into the possibility of mind control. And this project was called MK Ultra. They experimented on humans, and a vast majority of these experiments were actually illegal. They were doing them in secret. And they used different mind-altering substances to include marijuana, alcohol, and LSD as a way to control the minds of victims in interrogation sessions.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, they were, like, using... The CIA was using LSD on people as a way to figure out if they could use it as an interrogation drug. Kind of like a truth serum.
Like the men who stare at goats.
I don't know what that is.
You don't remember that movie?
No.
With George Clooney?
No.
The Men Who Stare at Goats?
I don't. I don't think I've ever seen it.
You need to see that movie.
I might need
to. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
Everybody else in the podcast, enjoy with me Men Who Stare at Goats and how this correlates.
Okay.
And yes, go ahead.
So I actually have a full list of the drugs that they use, at least the ones that we know of. They used amphetamines. They used MDMA, morphine, bufotenin, which is a toxin found in some animals, including like the toads that you hear about people licking. Scopolamine, which is an anti-nausea and anti-vomiting medication for motion sickness, sometimes used to reduce saliva. Because when you are about to like vomit, you're as a trigger mechanism, your body creates saliva and it. So anyway, marijuana, salvia divinorum. So just salvia. Alcohol, psilocybin, which is shrooms, sodium pentothal, which is an anesthetic used as the first of three shots for lethal injections, ergine, which is also known as LSA, and it's a psychedelic drug, bromo dragonfly, which is another psychedelic drug with highs that can last for days, which that sounds terrifying.
Holy cow.
Think of a trip that lasts, instead of like a couple of hours, like this said it would last sometimes up to 4 or 5 days of tripping balls.
Like, holy cow.
That sounds like, terrifying.
No, thank you.
That sounds awful.
I have things to do.
Yeah.
I have laundry. I need to go grocery shopping. I don't have time to be high for 4 or 5 days.
I have errands to run.
I have to go to the DMV. I haven't gotten my real ID yet. I mean, chaos, guys. Chaos if you're high for 5 days. Holy cow.
I don't have time for an LSD-induced errand run.
No. No.
They also...
Fight the cricket monsters on your way to the...
Right?
Wally World, you know?
Right.
So, okay, Java is barking for some reason. Give me 1 second. I'm
sure
thing.
Back.
Okay, sorry, continue.
Is this sweet baby okay?
Oh, she's being a brat. Just apparently somebody went for a walk and just...
And she went on high alert.
People aren't allowed to go to walks, Sammy. They're not allowed to go for walkies.
Yeah.
Good gorsh. Anyway, I'm so sorry my dog interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I went and ran a couple of LSD-induced errands.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad. Were there cricket monsters at the Wally World?
Yes, they were. They were absolutely terrifying.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so there are two other drugs that they used were bulbocapnine, which is an alkaloid drug, and then LSD, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So the tests ran for 20 years from 1953 to 1973 and were conducted sometimes unwittingly on U.S. and Canadian citizens.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, not all the tests were unwitting. In fact, my dad even went through some drug testing back in the day, because you know how sometimes they'll offer college students extra money to test out, drugs and stuff like that. They would do it something like that. Some people actually knew that they were going to be tested with LSD and stuff like that. But there were plenty of tests that they didn't have consent. They just did these tests on random people.
How thoughtful.
How thoughtful. Here's some free LSD. We're not going to tell you it's LSD.
Enjoy.
Right.
See you next fall.
Yeah, right. So, and aside from the drugs that I mentioned, they use other methods, including hypnosis, electroshock therapy, sleep deprivation, sensory deprivation, verbal and sexual abuse, isolation, and other forms of torture. And sometimes they would use these in conjunction with each other. So they'd hop you up on LSD and then give you full on sensory deprivation.
Oh my God.
Okay, I've done sensory deprivation before. I've been in like one of those sensory deprivation tanks where, you know, you kind of float in a bath of body temperature salt water where there's no light and no sound, and you just kind of float there for an hour. And boy, howdy, let me tell you how crazy of an experience that was. Like, on the one hand, on the one hand, it felt like I was in there for days. And then on the other hand, it felt like I was in there for minutes, but I was in there for an hour.
Wow.
And you just literally just float there and you don't feel anything. You start to like not feel your body because you're in this warm water, just floating there, not touching anything. You know, you can't see anything. So your eyes start making those colors of when you like rub your eyes a little too hard. It was just nuts.
That's bizarre. So
I can't even imagine what something like that would be like with like an LSD high. Like that would be absolutely terrifying. You'd probably feel like you were dying.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh my gosh. I don't even want to picture that.
I don't either. It just sounds terrifying. But yeah, so one specific sub project that they ran as part of MK Ultra was called Operation Midnight Climax. This one absolutely terrifies me. So it was a super illegal operation that used safe houses in San Francisco and New York City as base of operations, where they would hire sex workers to lure in men who were then drugged with LSD-laced drinks against their will and then raped and sexually assaulted as a way to test the efficacy of sexual blackmail and surveillance equipment.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it was absolutely crazy. And the surveillance equipment that they were testing were hidden cameras disguised as electrical outlets and two-way mirrors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So basically, they would like watch these people, these men, at least I assume it was predominantly men, getting high off of LSD-laced drinks and then raped by sex workers at these like big orgies. And then they would write those reports down and then use that as sexual blackmail and say, hey, don't you remember that one time that you went to, you know, a whorehouse?
Oh my gosh. And then use it against them.
And then use it against them.
They could get them to do anything.
Yes.
Interesting.
It's absolutely crazy. The operation, because it did what they wanted it to, they even expanded it and they would drug people at restaurants and beaches. So just randomly go up and drug people. But then the program,
I mean, how easy is it to get drugged on a beach? I mean, these days, you just get drugged anywhere. Drugged by a barstool sometimes.
If it's not a dry beach, you know, just go.
I
don't know.
Who knows?
But the program was shut down in the mid 60s, though, because they decided it was a little bit too over the top. I'm kind of surprised that that was what was over the top.
They
Some
messed up things.
They did some messed up stuff.
You know what? People are just, you know, walking meat bags. Let's just stick them with stuff.
Let's just fill them up with drugs and see what happens. See what
sticks. Stick them into stuff. Stick them out of stuff.
Okay, so this is the last part of the history lesson. So although most of the files were destroyed by order of the CIA director at the time, the Freedom of Information Act of 1977 uncovered about 20,000 documents that went to a Senate hearing the following year. In 2001, a lot of that information was declassified and released to the public, with even more being declassified as recent as 2018. So it took over 40 years for some of that to come out. And that was only 20,000 documents were uncovered. There's plenty more that weren't. You know, they destroyed most of them. One of the documents that was declassified in 2018 contained evidence about experiments that had been performed on six dogs, where they attached electrical implants into their brains and were able to control them via remote control to get them to run, turn, and stop.
Oh my gosh, puppies!
But they were testing that kind of mind control as well.
Whoa!
And who knows? Maybe they tested it on people. We don't know because those documents have been destroyed.
Even if they didn't mean to, you don't know. You don't think somebody didn't slap something on their,
possibly
slap their helmet on and go like, "Yeah, look at me," and then
Possibly.
Push but comes to shove, and then somebody else is remote controlling grandma.
But yeah, we don't know. You know, they might have slapped it on their, you know, ex-husband that they didn't really like.
Who knows? No.
So
we're getting off track.
As we do, we get off track a lot. So as far as the conspiracy theories, as you can obviously imagine, with that much research being destroyed, conspiracies are bound to crop up. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when the truth is that crazy and unbelievable. Like, I mean, just what I mentioned, it sounds like science fiction. It doesn't sound real. So when you find out that that's real and that most of the documentation of what happened was destroyed, obviously people are going to come up with crazy and outlandish conspiracy theories. So like I said, it's no surprise that people come up with lots of possibilities.
Yeah.
One of the conspiracy theories is known as Project Monarch. Mm-hmm. According to a woman named Kathy O'Brien, Project Monarch was a subsection of MK Ultra that used child abuse and trauma-based mind control on children in order to create a satanic child sex slave ring. So a pedophile sex ring.
Mm-hmm.
O'Brien's list of accused individuals includes government officials from the U.S., Canada, and Saudi Arabia, as well as singers and celebrities, most notably from the country Western genre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She claimed that some of these people, including former American President George H.W. Bush, would use holograms in order to alter their appearance to that of lizard-like aliens so they could frighten the children into behaving.
Oh, no.
I know. She went on to say that the trauma induced not only a multiple personality disorder, but also gave her an eidetic memory or a photographic memory, for those who don't know what eidetic means, which she had been proven to have. She has a photographic memory.
Wow.
The theory went on to be expanded beyond what O'Brien had originally brought forward, as most conspiracy theories do. And it went on to be described as a child grooming operation that didn't just produce sex slaves, but also messengers and killers. The three types of products, the child products, are alphas, betas, and deltas. So alphas were carrier pigeons. They were messengers. They typically had the photographic memories and were used primarily by drug couriers and CIA agents. So they'd basically be fed sensitive information and they'd pass it on to specified individuals by use of a trigger word. So they were kind of like a sleeper agent, you know, like they wouldn't know this information until who they were supposed to give it to said the trigger word. And then they would, in theory, like pass on that information to the individual. And this prevented like theft of information if it were stored using traditional methods like a floppy disk or hard drives, computers, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can't steal. I mean, yeah, you can steal a person, so to speak, but it's a lot more difficult to steal a person than it would be to steal a manila folder full of files.
True.
So betas they're also known as the Chosen or Barbies. These were specifically the sex slaves produced, and they were usually used as bribes for powerful and influential individuals in order to get what someone might want from them. They're usually said to be programmed through sexual torture to be able to fulfill any and all sexual fantasies the recipient might have.
Hmm.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, really.
Betas can also come in what's known as a presidential model, which are reserved specifically for U.S. presidents and world leaders.
Oh, my.
One notable example of a presidential model beta is Marilyn Monroe, who was designed for John F. Kennedy. And evidence, quote unquote, evidence for this is her singing, you know, happy birthday, Mr. President.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that it was so robotic. And
yeah. And that it was so robotic and felt really weird. And, you know, and just kind of felt off-putting. They were saying that, you know, she'd been trained, but, you know, like in that moment, they were activating her training for the president.
Wow.
Some people have gone on to say that him not wanting her is why he was assassinated.
Oh.
Yeah. Which we at some
There's
point,
a lot
I
of
promise
on that one. And that's not really one I want to touch because a lot of people are still really affected, you know, obviously by a president being assassinated.
I know. I kind of want to talk about it someday, though, because it's so interesting. And there are so many really creepy and cool conspiracy theories about John F. Kennedy's assassination. So maybe I'll talk about it someday. Maybe I won't. But yeah, so this was one of the kind of conspiracies behind it. And then finally, we had the Deltas, which were called Golden Children or Manchurian Candidates. And there was actually a movie came out called The Manchurian Candidate. These are killer or assassins that, you know, they were bred and raised up to be killers and assassins from childhood. These are also sleeper agents. They were raised to be efficient killers, and they're often used as assassins or bodyguards to the Illuminati elite. So basically what said, or it was one of my researches, it said that any major city has probably a dozen or more sleeper agents in it just waiting to be activated. So
that makes sense.
It's creepy.
I mean, the population is that is the way it is today, and you know, the way the world is. I believe it, sure.
It's still a creepy thought to think
it is a very creepy thought.
That there are, you know, like hundreds of assassins just waiting to be activated by use of some buzzword, you know. And we don't know what's going to happen. It's creepy. It's a creepy thought.
Wouldn't it be funny if it's like the person that's struggling with the self-checkout machine?
I mean, okay. You know, I struggle with the self-checkout machine sometimes too, okay? But I don't think I'm a sleeper agent, but you know.
I mean, anything is possible.
Let's just start reading through the dictionary and maybe one of the words will trigger something.
Start at number one.
Start at A. And we're just going to read. So the next subsequent episodes of this podcast are just going to be Tessa reading the dictionary to see if it gets a reaction.
It's finding out whether Sammy's a sleeper agent. That's a great series. I would watch it. I'd listen to it. Sure.
We'll just make a sub podcast, Sleeper Agent Sammy. And it'll come out on the weeks that we don't put out an actual episode. And it'll just be Tessa reading the dictionary to see if I go into a assassin killer mode.
Hey, if you guys will pay for it, I'll do it. Sure.
Mm-hmm. We'll make that a Patreon tier. You know, you pay like $5 a month and you get an extra episode of just Tessa reading the dictionary to see if I react to it.
Ideal. Yeah. Anyway, more about MKUltra.
I'm sorry. That's just great. Okay, so the next theory is known as pushers. This one I thought was really interesting because I've actually, like, I've read a lot of science fiction books about this theory. And this is claims that over the years, aside from torture and pedophilia, MKUltra also delved into testing and creating psychic abilities. I mean, they were testing mind control. It's possible they were testing other psychic powers. A handful of people have actually come forward claiming to have psychic abilities such as remote viewing, clairvoyance, psychokinesis, and telepathy as a result of drugs, torture, and other procedures administered to them. And there was actually like a really good Stephen King novel entitled Firestarter that was about this exact thing. It was about like a husband and wife were tested on, given like experimental drugs, and it gave them very latent psychic powers. And they had a daughter who inherited their psychic abilities and had like pyrokinesis, which is the ability to control fire with your mind. And also it's a government experiment. It's really interesting. They made a movie about it back in the 70s or 80s. And it had Drew Barrymore when she was like a little kid. Really, really cool. Great book, too. First Stephen King novel I ever read. It was amazing.
Everyone remembers their first.
Okay, so anyway, an article I read by a man named David Schurter went into great detail about what he claims to have gone through during his time being tested on as a child. And I've got a quote from him. He said, early on in my training, it began with eavesdropping on a conversation from across the room, and then it graduated from there. Next, I was taught to read lips so that I could ascertain what was being said without words being spoken. After that, I was expected to figure out what the people were saying without the use of language or words, simply by focusing on them and trying to figure out what they were thinking. Finally, I was put in a room where I had to focus on others in a separate room without any interaction. Remote viewing, as it is called, was expected of me as a child. Simply put, this is intuitively seeing events and people without being physically present. taught there were no absolutes, I was trained to see time as a constant continuum that I could travel back and forth in solely in my mind, and that I could sense and manipulate events at will. Some may see this as magic, but the more mankind learns about quantum physics, the more we are beginning to realize the effects that energy fields have around us, and this training was almost solely focused on this. Only able to influence energy, I learned that I couldn't fully control the results, and that is the flaw in MKUltra's training. So he's saying that he was kind of taught to read minds and like sort of astral project to other places to like see the future, I guess. Ironically enough, though, even though there isn't actual evidence of psychic testing during MKUltra, the United States did do research on psychic phenomena in the 70s after MKUltra was shut down, and it lasted all the way up and through the 1990s.
Oh, wow.
And this was called the Stargate Project.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, just like the science fiction show Stargate, but mm-hmm. This was called the Stargate Project. It went under many different names before being consolidated as the Stargate Project, and those other names included the Gondola Wish, Grill Flame, Center Lane, Sun Streak, and Scanite. This project focused on remote viewing, which, like I said, in theory uses clairvoyance and out-of-body experiences in order to psychically see events or sights or information from a great distance.
Hmm.
Really interesting. There aren't a lot of conspiracies about the Stargate Project. It was just kind of a one-off project that lasted about 20 years, but there was no definitive evidence that psychic phenomena could be proven. Like, it was kind of about just slightly less than 50% accuracy rate of the psychic phenomena that they did test. But that's a completely different topic. I just thought it was interesting that it kind of related. Other theories include celebrity mind control, and this is kind of my favorite because it's just so out there.
Oh, my.
According to this theory, MKUltra is still very much in use today, and it's used primarily to control celebrities. Basically, anytime you see a celebrity acting weird or spacing out for seemingly no reason, it's not because of drugs or strained nerves or mental breakdowns. It's because their brain had a momentary lapse from their mind control, and MKUltra was tapping back into their synapses.
Oh, my.
And they apparently use HARP, which we've talked about before,
yep.
in order to do this.
Oh.
And in order to broadcast the signals out. So some examples of the celebrity mind control include Britney Spears' infamous 2007 meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
Al Roker spacing out without blinking in 2012 after hearing the words Holy Ghost, which I watched this clip last night. Was it last night or two nights ago? Either way, he's like, they have this interview with like three people, and Al Roker's there, and somebody says like Holy Ghost, and he just like stares blankly at the camera for like 25 seconds without blinking, and like just blank deadpan expression on his face, just staring at the camera. It's kind of creepy.
That's
not gonna
bizarre.
Lie, but also kind of
like wow. I
will try to post these videos because they're kind of creepy but kind of funny at the same time. Mm-hmm. Another one was Katy Perry collapsing on stage during a concert in Nashville in 2011, which I watched that and that looked like it was part of her act. It didn't look like it was. Some people claim that it was her having an MKUltra episode. Some people claim it was demonic possession. And some people are like, hey, that looks like it was part of the act. And to me, as somebody who's done acting and performances, it looked very staged.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, because... Yeah, it looked very staged. And then my favorite one was Winona Ryder's strange facial expressions during the 2017 SAG Awards.
Yeah.
That have been made into, many, many memes.
Yes.
You know, like she just really looked like she had weird expressions going on. Now, as I mentioned before, there's numbers of reasons celebrities freeze up in front of a camera. Maybe they forgot their lines. You know, maybe they're having a mental breakdown. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe they had a few too many pre-cocktail party cocktails before the cocktail party with cocktails. Or maybe they just had an average Joe brain fart.
You know it happens too.
It happens to everybody. Celebrities are still people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they might have just had a brain fart.
Or you're trying real hard not to actually fart yourself, and then
or that then, you know, like they're trying
that just
to
takes
be
all your focus away.
Well, you know, or maybe they pooped their pants. We don't
exactly
know.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's like
went there.
We don't know. They're celebrities are people too, and they're held on such a high pedestal that we expect them to not act human.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like they're gonna have human reactions to things the same way we do, and like I mentioned, they've got a little bit easier access to the hardcore narcotics than us lay people, you know,
it's
and
true.
those things have very adverse effects on the human body, you know, and they can make you twitch and kind of space out sometimes. So it happens. But, so in conclusion, as with many, many other conspiracies, MKUltra has ties to the Illuminati, Bohemian Grove, which we've talked about, the NWO and many others. But are pedophile sex rings that condition children really that unbelievable? I mean, from what we know now, they really are real and actually run by the world's elite. So is this just a conspiracy? Are there grounds for truth mixed in? Was Jeffrey Epstein killed as a cover-up for an MKUltra pedophile sex slave trade? The world may never know. I had to include a Jeffrey Epstein plug because it just... it ties together a little too well.
That's true. Well, I like it. Thank you. Thank you for educating me on the history of MK Ultra. And
you're welcome.
And yeah, like, I mean, it's the things I hope aren't true, but
right. But I mean, like I said, the fact that like what we do know about MK Ultra sounds so far fetched.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, most people think MK Ultra in general is a conspiracy theory, but it's very, very real. It was a very real thing that our government did.
Yeah.
And we only know a very, very small portion of what actually happened. So many of the documents were destroyed. Mm-hmm. And it's like anytime a government destroys documents, they're going to destroy the most incriminating evidence first.
Yeah.
So
of course,
what we've got is probably the least incriminating stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's already really horrific. So what did they cover up? We don't know. We don't know how many people died from this, and we probably never will.
Yeah, so that's true.
Yeah. So like I said, it's no wonder conspiracy theories pop up, and who knows, those conspiracy theories might have hit a nail on the head, but we'll never know.
Because they've already swept it under the rug, and history is, you know, it's only as tangible as the recording of it, you know.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
you know,
it's only
left behind. But you know, you really should, you know, I mentioned earlier when we started this episode here, it's stuff, The Men Who Stare at Goats. You really need to watch that movie.
I will have to check
Ewan
that
McGregor
out.
And George Clooney, it's basically all about this, only I think it's really more around like the Stargate like era of it, because it's like around the 70s. Like there's like one portion of it and then it's a little later, but it's very very good movie, so I highly recommend
that
to you guys too. So
yeah, I'll have to check it out. And I also recommend, like I said, Firestarter by Stephen King. Great movie, great book, check them out. So we're gonna go on a bit of a break, and then when we come back, Tess is gonna cover a cryptid.
Yay, I'm very excited. Yeah. Okay, so just like Sammy broke away from... Oh, welcome back, by the way. And also, just like Sammy, you broke away from the way I usually do conspiracies and trying to uncover like who's behind it and who's responsible in the history of the people who are around it. And usually... you usually try to find ones that actually have sightings, like confirmed sightings of them, right?
Right.
Well, this one actually doesn't have any.
Okay.
And is widely considered actually an urban legend.
Okay.
But it's allegedly responsible for a lot of deaths, too.
Ooh.
There's some pretty wide disagreements on the creature's origins and methods that it uses to lure its victims, but they all hold a pretty similar theme. There have been a number of deaths and accidents at the alleged home of the beast, despite the erection of an 8-foot fence to keep thrill seekers away. Like, they've even been like, hey guys, there's probably something over here, but you should like not try it. Like, go away.
Okay, that's creepy. They've actually fenced it in. Okay.
However, despite this area being so dangerous and responsible for so many deaths, there's actually a safe way to see it for yourself, which I'm going to talk about later on at the very end of this episode.
Okay. So wait, there's a safe way to see it for yourself, but it's never been seen.
Well, at least there's a safe like area. If you wanted to try to go see it, there's a safe area you can go to. People just tend to take it too far. And they kill themselves, essentially. We're talking about the Pope Lick Monster of Kentucky.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of this one.
It gets its name from where it allegedly lives near the Pope Lick Creek train trestle. This is going to
say
suck.
That 10 times fast.
No.
A cryptid tongue twister.
Anyway, so this beast allegedly lives under a railroad trestle bridge over Pope Lick Creek in the Fisherville neighborhood of Louisville, Kentucky, which was built in the 1800s.
Okay.
Why? That's going to come from his origin story, which I'll get to in a few minutes.
Okay.
But some say you have to actually set foot on the tracks or cross the 742-foot trestle to bridge to summon it. So some say you have to, like, actually get up on top of the trestle for this thing to show up.
Okay.
And that the fact that there are so many that have died looking for this thing may also be correlated to the fact that there are no confirmed sightings.
I mean, I guess you can't claim to have seen it if you're dead.
Exactly. Exactly. So where did the Pope Lick monster come from? Okay. There's a couple of different origin stories, but one of the most popular ones is that it was a circus freak who vowed revenge on being mistreated. There was a man named Colonel Beauregard Schildnecht.
Okay.
Which you need to remember that name. It's going to come up again. He was the ringmaster of a rather twisted traveling circus. He wasn't known as a kind or decent man, rather a liar and a cheat who abused his performers. Also, despite the colonel title, there's no record of him ever actually serving in the military. So,
yes,
you know,
my
one of those.
Favorite kind of person.
Yes, one of those.
Sounds like a P.T. Barnum kind of person.
Exactly. Although he's actually even worse. He ran his circus like a gang, and thefts, missing persons, and grisly accidental deaths followed the show wherever they went. One day, while traveling through Beltsville, Maryland, he came across a poor, deformed child who appeared to be the half-man, half-goat. He knew he'd struck gold and took the boy with him, displaying him like a star freak in the show, you know, to make money.
Uh-huh.
Which you may, you know, if you're familiar with cryptids, you may be thinking, okay, well, there's already a goat man of Maryland. Some say they may be connected. Some say this may be an offspring or a cousin or a, like, cousin, you know, a relative of the same family.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, one day while traveling through, once the child grew up, getting larger and stronger, the colonel imprisoned him in a cage where he was beaten, underfed, and mistreated. The monster's hatred grew, and he began plotting an escape to get away.
Mm-hmm.
From here, the story of the monster takes a few different paths. Some say he escaped and tore people to shreds on the train, and it was his fault the train derailed, it did. Others say he escaped the train when he was held captive and when it was struck by lightning, which transformed him into a violent, bloodthirsty monster that he wasn't this vengeful before. And then once the lightning struck, it was like, ah.
I mean, yeah, maybe. Lightning striking, you could really do a lot, do a number on you. I had a friend that was struck by lightning twice before.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's bad luck. He should play the lottery. Oh, so legend has it, one stormy night, is your friend okay?
Oh, yeah, he was fine. It was just he was somebody that I used to go to camp, like summer camp with. And yeah, in his lifetime, like before he was like 18 years old, he had been struck by lightning two separate times, like a couple of years apart. And yeah, he was fine. But yeah, he got struck by lightning twice in his life.
I
don't know.
I really hope he finds the lottery, because that might be a good point. Or just stay. Don't go outside.
Just don't go outside.
Anyway, legend has it, one stormy night, the train crashed over. It crashed after being struck by lightning, killing everybody on inside except the monster. However, Colonel Schildneck's body was never found, and it's suspected a few of those gangster drifter clowns, circus freaks, and dangerous animals also survived and escaped. Mm-hmm. However, some say he also tore those survivors to shreds, including the colonel, and his bloodthirst wasn't quenched, and he just gone on killing ever since. He's just,
of course,
you know, forever. People that this isn't even their problem. He's like, it's your fault too. And you're like, I just got here. I don't know. I was just here with my girlfriend. Can we leave? Like,
no, you can't leave. So. You have to die now.
In fact, there's also a local legend of a ghost train that's likely connected to the Pope Lick monster. So that's like also connected to this part of the story.
Okay.
Another way that this kind of offshoots, there's another legend that says he was being kept prisoner by a farmer entirely, like not even circus. This is just a farmer held him captive. This tale says the farmer got freaky with one of his goats.
Oh, God.
And the goat gave birth to a child with human and goat characteristics.
That's not how that works, but okay.
No, it's not. No, but horrified by it, the farmer hid the child, but it was no use. So once it grew, the beast killed the farmer and escaped to the bridge because he liked the spot, not because it had any significance.
Oh, God. Okay.
So that's another way. That's another story. But in this case, they don't see the monster as a revengeful beast, but an animal following its instincts. But I don't know about you, but I don't know of any goats that would instinctually chase you down with an axe. So humans, I mean, sure. But goats, so maybe are we, what are we saying about humans here?
I mean, goats can be vindictive sometimes, right?
That's
they
true.
Can
that's
attack
true.
People sometimes. I don't know. I don't know.
There's also the possibility that it's just a twisted, reincarnated form of a farmer who sacrificed goats in exchange for satanic powers.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yes.
Of course.
That's always the best explanation is satanic powers.
So I've got two pictures to show you here before I tell you the description of this guy.
I'm excited.
First, this is the trestle that he likes to hang out under. It's very tall. See, it's like 90 feet in the air.
Okay.
And it's 742 feet long.
And I mean, that looks like a great hangout spot. Whoa. Okay, I've seen that picture before. That is absolutely terrifying.
Very freaky.
Very clearly photo manipulated, but I've seen it before, and it's terrifying.
This is definitely an artist rendition of this thing. Again, there's no confirmed sightings of this thing, so this is not even somebody's like real picture. And if you know, somebody probably has a really great mask or, like you said, photo manipulation and stuff, but this is essentially what it looks like.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you about what the general description of the Popelik monster is.
Okay.
He's very tall. He has the upper body of a man and the mangled lower body of a goat or a sheep. He's got short, sharp ram horns protruding from the forehead with greasy long hair.
Okay.
He's got powerful fur-coated goat legs, alabaster skin face with an aquiline nose and wide-set eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He can't speak, but he can use hypnosis or voice mimicry to lure trespassers onto the trestle to meet their death with an oncoming train. So he can, like, if you're with somebody, be like, I can talk like, you know, Becky over here and act like Becky's up on top of the trestle. Help, 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 come here, come here.
Oh my God, that's...
So you climb to the top of the trestle and you're like, oh my God, Becky's not up here. She's down there. I was like, oh my God, Becky, I left you to come save you. And now there's a train coming. Oh no. So anyway, he can also jump down from the trestle onto the roofs of cars passing underneath it. I felt like this started to sound like one of those, like the hook-handed man. And
a little bit. Like he's after the
tree, you know,
after the old, lover's lane kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought there. But other legends say it also attacks victims with a blood-stained axe. Some say the sight of the creature is so grotesque and disturbing that victims just pitch themselves off the trestle because they can't handle it. They're like,
it drives them so crazy that they're like, I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Nope. Just done.
Okay.
And it's said that on October weekend nights, especially when there's a full moon, he's said to have been like most active in the woods and in the hills surrounding the trestle. Those who choose to drive under the trestle around this time have reported missing car door handles and bloody handprints left on the door after a pursuit.
God, that's really very Hookman sort of thing. Yeah.
Yes, very much so. It sounds like teenagers that accidentally kind of screwed up and they're like, Mom and Dad, this is what happened. I'm going to blame this thing.
Yeah.
But it's totally not that I was a reckless teenager. Not at all.
Yeah, I wasn't out, you know, smoking ganja in Dad's car and hit a telephone pole.
Definitely not.
Smoking the devil's lettuce. The goat's lettuce.
Jazz cabbage. Yes.
The goat's lettuce.
Oh my gosh. So, like I said, though, this is actually, this guy's responsible for a lot of deaths. People that go look for him tend to not come back.
And
oftentimes I think it's because they're dumb teenagers looking for something like this. But, like, so anyway.
Okay.
Cryptids are often steeped in fantasy and the unknown, but this one is responsible for some very real deaths. There are no actual reported sightings of the Popelik monster, but he's blamed for a number of really gruesome incidents.
Ooh.
In 1987, a boy fell to his death after evading an oncoming train, and the same fate met another boy 13 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Also in 1987, two students died, 17-year-old Spalding University Jack... Jack Charles Baum, the second, was hit by a train while walking on the tracks, and 19-year-old David Wayne Bryant jumped to dodge the train and later died from his injuries. Again, one gets hit, one tries to jump. And that's kind of like
that's the
they
the,
go in twos. It's usually teenagers and they're like looking for this thing and they just shouldn't be on the trestle in the first place.
Right. Why were they there in the first place?
In 1994, a man was killed when his ATV overturned on the track, trapping him as a train approached. Again, not supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. And in 2000, a 19-year-old man died while clinging to the side of the trestle after jumping to avoid the train, but he was shaken loose and fell to his death.
Okay.
In May of last year, a 15-year-old girl was also found dead there, and her companion was taken to a nearby hospital. So it's like, the kids, just stay away from this thing. I don't even know why they have a park there. Like...
Don't go on the train tracks, kids.
There is a park there, guys. I'm going to tell you about it at the very end and stuff, because if you want to go see it, you can, but I'm not going to encourage you to climb on the trestle. Stay off the trestle.
Stay off the train tracks. That is not...
Exactly.
That's not smart.
I can't let the conspiracy part of me go sometimes, though. So right, the story kind of piqued my interest.
Okay.
In 2016... Mm-hmm. There was a couple from Ohio, martial arts instructor, 41-year-old David Nee, and his 26-year-old girlfriend, Raquel Bain. No judgment on that age difference. But I've been there myself. Yep. But his age is going to come up again, though. So remember that he's 41.
Okay.
This couple was on a legend trip to check out some paranormal areas nearby, and they took a detour from their original plan to go check out the Pope Lick Trestle.
Okay.
They'd only known each other for about 6 months total, and they'd been dating for one when they went on this adventure. So they were just like, yeah, it's been 6 months. Let's go, like, find all the paranormal stuff in Kentucky. We're from Ohio. Let's just pop down there and go on this little trip.
I do stuff like that. I'm not going to lie.
But there's a common misconception, though, that this trestle is no longer in use, and that's not true. Obviously, there's been a ton of people that died on this thing, and yet they're still saying, like, no, there's no trains over there. Even people that live nearby will tell you, like, no, trains don't come through here.
Mm. Oh, my God.
They've already, like, tuned it out. They don't even pay attention. It's actually, in fact, it actually still serves as a major rail artery into Louisville, bearing the weight of the heavy freight trains across the bridge, sometimes multiple times daily. So it's...
Okay.
Often taking trains. We hear stories all the time, both lore and real, about people being hit by trains, and one tends to think trains are huge, right? Like, why wouldn't they hear that coming? But the answer is no, not necessarily. Trains tend to leave sound behind them and out, so they kind of, they don't send sound out in front of them. That's why you don't hear them until they're on top of you, so, or until it's passed. But if it's coming towards you, you're not going to hear it until it's right there. And by then, you probably can't really hear much of anything, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
So, but being adventurous, he says that she encouraged him to ignore the no trespassing sign, and they climbed up on the 90-foot train trestle. He says she suggested this.
Oh, of course, yes.
Of course, she's dead. Of course, he's going to say that. I don't want to like infer anything because I know these are real people, but God, yikes. They were just 40 feet from safety, though, when a train came barreling toward them, and she didn't make it. They couldn't make it to safety in time, though.
Mm-hmm.
So she jumped. No, she didn't jump. Actually, excuse me. Hang on. So he leapt off onto the side of the trestle for dear life and held on while the train rolled by. But she wasn't so lucky. She was hit by the train and she went flying.
Okay.
And sadly, she didn't make it.
Okay.
But here's where the conspiracy comes in. In 1988, the monster was the subject of a film by Louisville director Ron Schildnicht.
Oh, it came
Sound
back.
Sound familiar?
It came back. It's back.
It came back. No relation, though, that I could find to the Colonel.
Oh.
But the guy has done a ton of feature short films on different conspiracies and cryptids and stuff, though. So you can, like, go check them out.
Okay.
But this one was titled The Legend of the Pope Lick Monster. Most of the film was shot on location at the Pope Lick Trestle, except the scenes where the characters were obviously in danger. Those were, like, shot in a studio in a safe place.
Right.
However, the Norfolk Southern Railway officials were furious about the film because it was particularly misleading. In fact, there's one scene, a main character, allegedly a high school student, narrowly escapes a train by holding onto the railing like Nee said he did. But in reality, few people could have the strength to hang on for the 5 to 7 minutes it would take for a train to clear the whole bridge. And the vibrations from the train are so strong, the ground beneath the trestle will shake as the train passes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's just no way you could hold on to that.
No, like, shake you right off.
Exactly. So he claims he like wrapped a leg around like part of the metal and like really held on. And I mean, when adrenaline kicks in, the human body is capable of some amazing things.
You hear about mothers being able to lift cars off their kids and stuff like that. I mean, that sort of thing isn't too far outside the realm of possibility, but it's still highly unlikely.
Exactly. And as I mentioned, Nee was a martial arts instructor, so anything is possible, but he, does mention having to, hold on to the rock and the roll of the train, so mm-hmm. it is part of his story. But, I mean, have you seen trains?
Yeah, they're gigantic. So, yeah,
also,
he's
41, too.
Yeah, so I would say possible, yes. Probable, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... what could this thing be? Obviously, the most likely answer is that it's a myth or a legend, and mm-hmm. it's an excuse for a test of bravery for teenagers. And yeah. note that aside from the last couple that met their unfortunate fate in 2016, most deaths were teenagers that were looking for a youthful thrill.
Of course, because teenagers... Exactly. I wanted to say teenagers are stupid, but that's not really nice. It's not fair.
They're just,
but they're just
adventurous.
They're young, inexperienced, and adventurous. I mean... We've all been there at some point or another, you know, where we were a dumb teenager making silly decisions because we didn't know any better. So I'm not going to judge too harshly. It just, I mean, like I said, I go out and look for creepy, weird urban legends, and I'm 32, almost 33 years old, and I still do that. So I can't really judge a teenager too much.
But I don't think you would climb up there.
No, I would not climb up on an active railroad trestle. That's asking for trouble. It really is.
It could also be an excuse to murder somebody out there. It wouldn't be hard. I mean, most people, it was like two people together and maybe it didn't go so well. And like usually one died or one died later. You know, you just never know.
Yeah.
It could also be a satanic cult. In the mid-1970s, rumors of a satanic cult and demonic rituals began circulating in the same area of Pope Lick Road. Mm-hmm. Reports surfaced of missing domestic animals and were suspected of falling prey to sacrifices.
Right.
A farm known as the Four Winds, just a few miles away from the trestle, was suspected of being home to a group of Satanists who worshipped the Pope Lick monster as the living embodiment of Baphomet, the goat of Mendes himself, which mocks the image of the lamb, the embodiment of Christ.
Right.
The farm was surrounded by a red and black fence throughout the 80s with a no trespassing signs everywhere, mm-hmm. and tribal drum beats and chanting were frequently reported from the woods behind the barn.
Right.
Another potential danger in the area was the group of angry farmers and residents who feared the monster's attacks on the livestock and families. They're often armed and dangerous and likely not to take kindly to people who are lurking around their property.
Right.
So they're saying, that's another way that, you know, this is really dangerous to go look for this thing. It's an urban legend. Don't bother.
Yeah.
There's also the possibility it could be a relative of the Maryland Goatman. And the original, widely accepted origin story of the Pope Lick monster begins that he was found by the colonel in Maryland. And some believe this monster is a relative of the Maryland Goatman or one and the same, despite being states apart. The Goatman often targets lovers chasing them down with an axe, also allegedly lives under a bridge. So he mm-hmm. could have traveled too.
Gotcha.
In conclusion, if you want to go check this out for yourself, like I said, please be safe. Don't touch the train.
Don't climb on the train tracks, people.
No,
please.
No, choo-choo. Stop it.
We don't condone climbing on active railroad tracks, and especially when you can't, there's when it's on a trestle like that, it's a giant bridge.
Exactly.
There's no way to get out of the train's way.
It's 90 feet down.
Don't
do it.
Do that. 90 feet down, you're going to die, or you'll get hit by a train and you'll die. Don't do it. It's just so stupid.
However,
oh my God.
This is a beautiful place, and I don't want to knock all of our nation's parks, because Pope Lick Creek and the trestle in question are part of Louisville's parklands of Floyd's Fork Park system, and mm-hmm. there's even a paved trail that curves through the area under the trestle itself. Like I said,
okay,
there's a park there,
right?
So you can go visit it. It's not like this is like a completely blocked off area, but they do not want you to stay on get on the train tracks. There's also a haunted Halloween tour that's planned every year to cash in on the hype of the Pope Lick monster. So it is such local lore, they even have a haunted house for it.
Well, that's awesome. That's dope. I would totally go do that.
And that is going to wrap it up for the Pope Lick Monster.
That was fascinating. And, it always tickles me how many cryptids it just comes down to. Maybe it's Satanists.
Exactly.
There's just There's just so, and I mean, I guess it's the same with conspiracy theories too. I mean, mine today, it was like, it's a satanic pedophile ring. It's like, oh my God. When in doubt, blame the Satanists.
Blame the Satanists. You know, that's, we poor Satanists. We respect all religions equally. Like,
we just really like to blame them for everything that we don't understand. So I don't know.
Exactly.
It's just, it's funny. It's weird, but.
How silly. So anyway, that's the Public Monster. That's MK Ultra. And that's gonna do it, I think, for
that's
this
gonna
episode
do it
of Conspiracies
for today. Thank you guys, as always, for listening to us. We have such a blast doing this. It's
we
so
do.
Much fun.
Thank
you, know?
You so much. Continue to tell your friends, and let's do this thing. Let's keep it up.
Let's do this thing. And once again, if you're new here, welcome. We're really happy to have you here. We hope yes. that you'll continue to tune in. We come out every 1st and the 15th with two hiatuses, one in the summertime and then one around like Christmas time,
holidays.
Like,
you know,
the holidays.
We want to enjoy our families too.
Yeah. So, but you know, we just came off from our holiday hiatus. So you're stuck with us for the next couple of months in a row.
Yep.
So
expect us every 2 weeks.
Expect
like
us
payday.
Every 1st and the 15th, like payday, at least if you're in a federal job,
exactly.
That's payday.
Yeah.
But, all right. So, without further ado, don't forget Big Brother is watching.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. Don't forget to check out our website, www.conspiriesandcryptids.com, for more episodes and other information.
And if you're really enjoying what we're doing, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/cryptipod. That's CRYPTIPOD. There you can find different ways to support us and get some awesome goodies along the way.
While you're at it, you can also find us on all of your favorite social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's any one of those at Cryptipod.
And if you're enjoying our podcast, please think about leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us 5 stars and a nice little blurb about why you like us. It helps us to gain some traction and find some new listeners.
And while you're at it, don't forget to tell your friends, because our friends are your friends.
And don't forget, Big Brother is watching.